I want to welcome you to Vertical Church, whether you're in the Hiawassee Movie Theater, or you're on Facebook, or YouTube, or our app, or you're here in a gym at Mountain Area Christian Academy. I want to welcome you to Vertical on behalf of our staff and our team and our leaders. Just Merry Christmas. And my name is Philip. I'm the senior pastor here, and I get the privilege of working with a wonderful group of people here at Vertical Church, and we're glad that you're here with us today. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 today. If you brought your Bible, or you've got a Bible app, or you just have the trust that we're going to put it on the screen, which we are. And so Luke chapter 2 is where we're going. We're in a series called Available right now. It's called Available. And there's been this idea that the Lord is still available today. So we're going to look at that a little bit more. Luke chapter 2, it's going to start in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" I don't know about y'all, but I read the Bible like it's real and it's alive and active, and I kind of watch like it's happening because I believe it is real. And that verse 15 always sticks out to me. So I mean, if you're picturing this all happening, you're just a shepherd, you're just out in the fields, and things are pretty chill. It's an every other night, you got your little sheep, they're running around, you're trying to make sure they're not getting eaten by other people until you're ready to eat them, and so you protect them, and things are going well, and it's a nice starry night, and things are pleasant, and then an angel shows up. I don't know about y'all, that's not in my normal routine. And so an angel shows up and says, "Don't be terrified," because if you're like me, I would be terrified. I'm not used to interacting with angels. And so an angel shows up and says, "Don't be terrified. I've got good news." And you're like, "Well, that's great, because I don't think I can fight you one-on-one." So you're excited that this thing has showed up and says, "I've got good news." And you're just like, "I don't know what it is, but that is good news." And he says, "A Savior has been born." And you're like, "A Savior, you say? Well, that is very interesting." He says, "The Messiah, a Messiah." Well, that is very curious as well. And he says, the Lord, okay, this is making sense why an angel has shown up. And while you're pondering all of that, then other angels, a heavenly host shows up. And you weren't ready for that because you're working and processing through one angel. Now you got a heavenly host and you're like, "I don't think we can feed all these people." And they're praising and they're singing and it's like the worship team's going. And you're like, "What is happening? This was not my normal night." And then they disappear. And one of the shepherds finally gets the words to speak, and he says, "Well, I guess we should go to Bethlehem." You know, when you read 15, they kind of seem nonchalant about it. They're like, "Well, I guess let's go check out what this hubbub's about. I mean, this seems to be intriguing. This seems to be different." So they're like, "Yeah, I guess we'll casually go down to Bethlehem and see what all this is about." I'm like, "I mean, what are they going to do?" They're like, "You know, I wonder if they're thinking, like, we're going to start a podcast. Shepherds and the Angels, you know, episode 1. And they're going to wander off and try to start this thing and start talking about what in the world our life was normal. Then angels showed up, and we're heading down to see some baby in a manger in cloths, who's apparently the Messiah and the Lord. And they start wandering off to go down there and investigate. Who is this kid that's been born that's causing such a big ruckus? Who is Jesus? And maybe you're in a movie theater in Hiawassee, or you're watching online, or you're here in a gym at Mountain Area Christian Academy, Morganton, Georgia. And if you're honest, you have the same question. You have the same question: who is this Jesus. You heard people talk about him. You kind of think about him from time to time at Christmas or Easter time. You kind of start wondering, who is this Jesus? I've met some Christians, and quite frankly, I've not always had a great experience with the Christians, but I'm still curious about who Jesus is. Who is this guy that we celebrate this Christmas and Easter for, and there's churches? Like, why is this guy so important? Who is he? Maybe you're here to investigate. And it's interesting to me what one of the angels says. The angel says, don't be afraid because I've got good news. When Jesus was born, he's immediately greeted by this announcement that his birth is good news. He's immediately sent into this world with the proclamation that this kid, this Jesus, is the Savior. And so maybe as you investigate Jesus, you're trying to figure out who he is. I'm going to go ahead and give you my opinion. And you can write it down, you can take it, you can save it, or you can shove it. You can do whatever you want with it. But my opinion is this. If you're trying to investigate Jesus, this is actually a pivotal moment. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you that your best bet if you're trying to deny Jesus is who these angels show up and say he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he is the Lord, I'm going to go ahead and tell you my opinion. I think you should argue that never happened. I think your best bet if you're trying to deny Jesus is actually to say this never happened. I think your best bet is to say he was never born. Because if you're going to see that he was born, then you've got to start getting into angels showing up. Then you've got to get into heavenly hosts showing up. Then you've got to get into this idea that people were saying he is the Messiah. You've got to wrestle through a lot of things. But it's easier if you just try to go, Jesus was never born. It's going to be a difficult thing for you to get through because there's a lot of historical texts outside of the Bible that say Jesus was real and he was born and he lived in this time and he was crucified. You got some hurdles to get through, but I'm telling you, if you don't want to believe in Jesus, your best bet is to try to write him off and say he was never born. Because if he was born, then he's got angels showing up. Then he's got good news being talked about. He's got things said about him that he's the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. Why? Like, what is he trying to save us from is maybe your question. Maybe you do believe that Jesus was born, but you're like, what is he exactly saving us from? Why is he the Messiah? Like, I didn't know I needed saving. And you're trying to figure out why is all of this being said? And you're like, to be quite frank, I just showed up because that's what I do at Christmas as I show up to church. And now you're trying to ask me questions and I got to do some critical thinking. And the only critical thinking I wanted about this time was, what am I going to have for dessert when we get together for Christmas? That was my critical thinking. You can do both. You can decide what you're going to have for dessert. It's a powerful experience. My wife shows up to every meal. I'll tell you this because she's in the tech bunker and I got about 50 feet before she can tackle me. My wife shows up to every meal with one goal. What is the socially acceptable amount of food I can eat before I can go have dessert? And it's always the smallest amount possible. Myself, on the other hand, I don't get to dessert most of the time because I'm like, what is the socially acceptable amount of seconds I can have? You know, we're very different people in that concept. She can have my dessert if she will give me her meal. We trade. It's a beautiful thing. And we've been married for 6+ years off this plane, and it's working great for me. Not great for my waistline, though. But the angel says, I've brought you good news that Jesus has been born. And why is it good news? He says, for all people. He says, for humanity. It is good news that Jesus has been born. Why? I mean, if you come in, like, when's the last time you answered that question? Why was this such good news? Why was this a holy night? And you may go through some answers you've heard. You may think, but I'm talking about you, honestly, personally. When's the last time you pondered, why was this a holy night? Why was this a night with good news? Like, why did this change things for humanity? So I think we've got to look at a different text for us to understand why. I want us to look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And they're talking about Jesus. You see, here's the thing. Is that holy night that we sing about and what we talk about and we think about and why we celebrate Christmas? See, here's the thing I got to tell you is that moment, that holy night when Jesus was been born, a clock started ticking. Because it tells us, the angel shows up and says, I've got good news, he's a savior. Well, if he's a savior, that means he's saving us from something, which means he's got to do something, right? Well, the clock began ticking that night. That holy night began a clock that was running for this moment where Jesus was either going to save us or he wasn't. And Luke 23 is talking about this moment where the clock's about to hit zero on this moment where Jesus is either going to save us or he isn't. He's either the Messiah or he isn't. And again, it says two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. If you got your Bible app or your Bible, I encourage you to highlight this verse. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people who stood watching and the rulers, they even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. They're starting to quote things that were said about Jesus from the very beginning. If he's really the Messiah, then that dude needs to be able to save himself. He needs to get off the cross and take care of himself if he's really the chosen one. The soldiers also join in now, and they start mocking him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and they said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. I mean, they're mocking him left and right. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said? Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Why was it good news for humanity that Jesus was born? Why was he called the Messiah? Why was he called the Savior? It was because the clock began ticking for this moment. And it's interesting to me in this text that Jesus only says two things. He says only two things, and I believe they're some of the most revealing about his character. He's hanging on a cross, and people are sneering at him, they're mocking him, they're insulting him, they've beat him, and his response to all of that is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's what he says back to everybody. They tell him, hey, if you're really the Messiah, if you're really the one who is chosen, if you're really all about the good news of who you are, you need to come off the cross and save yourself. And they mock him, and they sneer him, and they insult him, and they beat him. And they said, if you're really the Messiah, you come off that cross. And his response is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I guarantee you, he was also thinking, they don't know what they're asking. Because if he's really the Savior, he can't come off the cross. And it's this moment where the people you're there to save, the ones you care about, the ones you're asking as they've nailed you to a cross, you're asking the King of Heaven, your Father, don't hold this against them. Please forgive them. They're asking you to come off the cross. And you're having to realize, I can't come off the cross if I'm to save you and humanity. The one thing you're asking me to do, I can't do. It's revealing his character that maybe he has come to be the Savior. As he's hanging on the cross, one of the guys next to him has the audacity to hurl insults at him and starts mocking and says, hey, if you really are the Savior, you need to come off the cross and you need to take us with you, Savior. And then the other criminal sticks up for Jesus and says, what are you doing? He looks at the other criminal and says, you and I, we deserve this. Like, we actually know the things we've done to deserve this. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. And then he says, Jesus, please remember me. Remember me. And Jesus, hanging off the cross, hanging there, after being insulted and sneered and mocked and insulted and beaten, he looks at the guy and says, you'll be with me in paradise. Revealing his character. Amidst all of that, a Savior. And you see, I told you earlier in this message that it's better for you to try to deny that Jesus was ever born. I told you that if you're questioning or investigating Jesus, I told you it's a lot easier if you deny that he was ever born. And we just read one of the reasons why. Because here's the thing, if you celebrate Christmas and sing O Holy Night and you admit and give to the fact that Jesus was born, you're going to have to deal with Luke 23. And this is where it gets really hard. If you believe Jesus was born and he was a person and you think he was a pretty good guy and maybe he was a prophet, maybe he was a teacher, you still have to deal with Luke 23. You're going to have to deal with the fact that a guy willingly went to a cross. You're going to have to deal with the fact that even after being insulted and challenged and called out and mocked and everyone said, get off the cross, you have to deal with the fact that Jesus refused. Why? Why? That's why it's a lot easier to try to deny that Jesus was never born, because it'll mess you up when you start thinking about Luke 23. When you start thinking about a guy who would be on a cross willingly for you and I, and he would say, no, I can't come down. I can't come down. If I come down, your sins remain. There is no hope for humanity. The good news we talked about when angels sung, it's not real anymore, that it's not good news if I come off this cross. And that gets messier, because then you have to ask yourself, why? Why would Jesus not come off that cross? And it gets harder, because the answer is love. It gets a lot harder because the answer is love. When you think about this guy who was born, and he grows up and now he's on the cross willingly. He's lived this perfect life and he says, I've come here to save humanity from their sins. And I will stay on the cross and die because of love. And that becomes so difficult to try to logically comprehend, because that doesn't happen. And Romans 5 even talks to us about it. You can go look it up. Paul's going through the logical argument of nobody goes and dies for other people like that. Maybe for good people, maybe somebody would die, but all of humanity in our sin? Like, you'll stay on a cross out of love even for the people who are mocking you and insulting you and sneering at you and they beat you? You'd stay on a cross for them because of love. And then we start logically going through and we start thinking about all the things that you and I have done. And we know all our mistakes, right? We don't need anybody else to tell us. We're aware of the sins and the things that we've done. And we start going through all the things and all our mistakes and the things that make us feel so much shame and so much guilt. Just to be honest with you, some of you guys know this because I've been honest, I struggled with pornography for years and was buried in shame and guilt. And I think about that now. Jesus stayed on the cross for somebody like me? And you start going through all the things that you've done and you realize Jesus stayed on the cross for you? Yes. And that's why I tell everybody, it's a lot easier if you try to deny that Jesus was ever born. Because if you ever see the fact that Jesus was born, you have to wrestle with Luke 23. You have to wrestle with the fact that someone was willing out of love to stay on the cross for your sins and my sins. And that gets messy. And that gets difficult. And now it's a whole lot more than just a holy night and a Christmas season and just love and joy and happiness and meals. And now we have to wrestle with the fact of why he was born. It's for a moment like that, when the clock began ticking, that he was going to have to either be the Savior or he wasn't. And that gets more difficult. And you see, we can come and we can sing, Oh Holy Night, and our worship team can do a fantastic job and they can be incredible and we can sing about that, as long as we can push away the fact of what that Oh Holy Night was going to lead to. That Oh Holy Night was going to lead to a moment where Jesus was going to be on the cross and insulted and mocked and sneered at and have to stay there for you and I. Because in our sin, we had no hope. in that moment, he had to stay there for you and I to experience good news. That the sin, the shame, and everything that we deal with, we can actually be forgiven. We can actually be cleansed. We don't have to be buried in our weight of sin and shame and guilt and all of that thing. It can all be wiped clean by one guy. And it was good news he was born. It was a holy night that changed humanity, that he would come down to earth and say, humanity, you don't have to live under the weight of sin and shame and guilt anymore. Humanity, I have to stay on this cross because if I don't, you're trapped. But if I finish what I started, if I die on the cross, I can set you free. And then after he dies on the cross, 3 days later, he comes out of the tomb. And he proves, I am who I say I am. You see, it's a lot easier if you just try to say that Jesus was never born, because then you have to wrestle with the fact that he was willing to go to the cross. You have to wrestle with the fact that if he went to the cross and he came out of the tomb, who is this guy? Is he really who he says he is? Does he really love like that? And Luke 23 tells us he does. His character was looking to forgive people even while they had him on a cross. His character was looking to forgive someone to his left who was admittedly in front of everyone saying, I deserve to be on this cross. And he forgave him. And he looked at that criminal who openly admitted, I deserve to be on this cross. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So what's stopping us? What's stopping us from moving beyond just singing O Holy Night and registering this changed everything for humanity? What's stopping you and I from going from being a criminal on the right who's insulting Jesus and thinking he's a joke and he's, you know, this guy who willingly went to the cross? What a fool. What changes in us to go to the other criminal who says, Jesus, please forgive me. Please remember me. What's got to change in us for that to happen? What's got to change in humanity in this world to start to deal with the fact that there was a man named Jesus who went to the cross willingly out of love to pay the price for sins that you and I have that we couldn't take care of? What's got to change for you and I to go from the guy on the cross next to Jesus who's insulting him to the guy on the cross asking for forgiveness? What's got to change? And I understand if you go to Christmas services, this isn't the usual one, but I don't want us to glaze over O Holy Night. I don't want us to just sing that song without realizing why it was good news. I don't want us to sing that song without us remembering why that clock began to tick the moment the angel showed up and declared, that guy is the Savior, that guy is the Messiah, and there's now hope for humanity. You see, when we sing that song, I think we get into that Christmas spirit. And maybe, just maybe, we can forget the price that was paid. Just for one moment, maybe we don't have to wrestle with the fact of Jesus did what he did. And so as you're in a movie theater, you're online, or you're here in a gym, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the fact that when Jesus was born, angels showed up and declared him off the bat, he's the Messiah, he's the Lord, he's the Savior? What are you going to do with the fact that Jesus willingly went to the cross and paid a price for your sin and my sin? What are you going to do with the fact that Jesus came out of a tomb 3 days later? What are you going to do with all of that? You see, you could simply move on. Or you could investigate like the shepherds. And you could go out, I've got to figure out who this Jesus is. Because if it really was a holy night that forever changed humanity, it affects each and every one of us. There is no human who has ever lived after that who what Jesus did didn't affect. Because if Jesus was born and it was a holy night and he went to a cross and paid the price and he came out of a tomb 3 days later, it either changes our life or it doesn't. There's no in between. See, here's the thing, if you and I say that we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, if we believe it's a holy night, but it doesn't really change our life, you're going to find that we're actually far closer to the people mocking Jesus than anyone else. And that's how some of us can live, is it's, oh, holy night. Love baby Jesus. Love baby Jesus. There's no such thing as baby Jesus without Luke 23. Because he was either born and he is who he says he is, or he wasn't. It either radically changes our life forever that there was a man who named Jesus. He was sent from heaven to pay the price for our sin, or it didn't happen. And we have to decide, are we going to investigate that, or are we just going to try to push it away and move on? And the ironic thing about Jesus is he doesn't force anyone to follow him. You can go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He doesn't force a single person to follow him. He invites them. And here's the thing about today. Jesus invites you. Come follow me. Jesus can forgive our sin, our shame, our guilt. We can participate with what he's doing and follow him, but we have to ask. The Bible tells us that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and ask for him to forgive us of our sins, we are cleansed. And maybe today's your day. Maybe today is your day that that can happen in your life. That you can be someone who goes from just investigating who Jesus is to going, I want to follow the guy who is willing to stay on the cross out of love. That's who I want to be with. I want to be with someone who is willing to do that. And maybe you have been a Christian a long time. Maybe you have sung Oh Holy Night more times than you can ever count. And I want us to take a moment to remember what that night meant. The worship team wants to come back up. We're going to sing Oh Holy Night one more time. But while we do it, we're going to take communion. And we're going to remember that that holy night started a clock. And we're going to remember what Jesus did. And see, if you haven't come to church before, it's okay. What communion really is a couple nights before Jesus was arrested and taken, Jesus takes his closest followers aside. He had like 12 disciples, 12 people that really followed Jesus through all the ups and through the downs. And he takes them aside to dinner one night and he says, this wine represents my blood. And it's about to be spilled. They're going to execute me. And he takes the wine, he says, when you drink of this, remember me. And his disciples, they don't get it. They don't understand what's about to happen. But he says, when you drink of this, remember me. He takes the bread with him and he says, this is my body and it's going to be broken. When you eat of this, remember me. And they don't get it, but Jesus is trying to give them this symbolic moment of when I'm gone, when I'm not walking with you anymore, remember me. Remember what I'm about to do. Remember the love that I have for you. Remember the price that I'm willing to pay for you. Remember. And I don't want us to go through a Christmas season where we sing, Oh Holy Night, and we have this season. We don't remember what that night really meant. We don't remember why that night meant such good news. We don't remember that a Savior was born who had to have a moment to save us. And so as we take communion, maybe you want to take it together as a family. Or maybe you want to take it with some of your friends. Or maybe you want to take communion just personally between you and the Lord. And go, Lord, I don't want to go through this Christmas season singing Oh Holy Night and all these other Christmas songs and not remember that Luke 23 was coming. That this moment where you were willing to stay on a cross out of love and pay a price to save us was coming. I want to remember your birth, but I want to remember the price that you paid as well. And maybe today's the first day that you've actually confess Jesus as Lord. Maybe today's the first day where you say, Jesus, please forgive me my sins. Today's the first day that you can take communion and it means something. Today's your first day that you can take of this little cracker and this grape juice and remember what Jesus has done. And it means something now for you. If you're not a Christian, you don't have to take communion because it's just for people who want to say, Jesus, I remember what you did. I remember that I was trapped in my sin, in my shame, in my guilt. And because of the price you paid, I've been set free. Because of the price that you paid, I've been cleansed. My sin's not held against me anymore. I remember you, Jesus. So as we sing the lyrics in this song one last time, O Holy Night, I want us to take communion and remember what Jesus has done and how this night changed everything for humanity. So Jesus, I ask, help us to remember. Holy Spirit, come and move in our hearts and minds. I pray for anyone who is investigating you, Jesus. Won't you reveal more of yourself to them? Help us in this moment, Jesus, to not just sing a song, not just listen to how awesome our worship team is, but have this moment where we remember what you've done, Jesus, and how it forever changes things for humanity. Help us remember that there was good news on this holy night where you were born. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and your character. Thank you for your love and your grace. Work in and through us, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.